Hey, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby, and welcome to the Crypto Bobby podcast. Today, I have a special episode for you. It is actually a recording from a presentation that I did during NAC3 in San Francisco. There is an NAC3 coming up in Vegas on December 8th. If you'd like to check that out, I'll put a link below in the description. But this presentation in specific is kind of a security token 101. A little bit of a background on what security tokens are, who the players that are involved in the industry, what some of the pros and cons involved in security tokens are, and a lot more. So hopefully, if you are unfamiliar with security tokens, tokenized securities, digitally wrapped securities, whatever anybody wants to call them these days, you'll get a better understanding from this presentation. I did have a slide deck that went along with the presentation, so if you'd like to take a look at that, go to cryptobobby.com/security token, and that will take you to my Google Sheet for that slide deck. I will also put a link below in the podcast description as well. Now, before we get into the episode, want to talk to you guys about my friends over at LinkedIn. Especially for your crypto projects out there, you know that the right hire can make a massive impact on your business, and that's why it is so important to really find the right person. But where can you find the right individual for your business? You could try posting on job boards, but we all know nobody actually sees those, and the people that see them aren't really the people that you want to hire. Instead, find the right person for your job with LinkedIn. It is the world's largest professional network, and people go to LinkedIn every day, not just for new job opportunities, but to grow professionally and find those better roles. And 70% of the US workforce is already on LinkedIn, which means that you are going to be able to reach people that you would not be able to reach on places like the job boards. And the best part about LinkedIn is, while most of the LinkedIn members haven't actually visited job boards recently, 9 out of 10 of those new members are open to opportunities. And if you go to linkedin.com/Bobby, you'll actually get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/BOBBY to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/Bobby, terms and conditions apply. Let's get into the conversation about security tokens.
Today, I want to talk about what the heck are security tokens, because there are a lot of people talking about security tokens right now. And it's kind of a new thing in the space, and it's something that you're seeing a lot more, or you might be seeing a lot more on Twitter and some other places as well. And one thing I'll say here too is that the security token marketplace in general, it's like, when I look at security tokens right now, I think about like Bitcoin in 2010. Like, it is so early on. A lot of this stuff is, it's happening, it's coming, but it's really not there yet. But kind of the point of just this presentation in general is to hopefully shed some light on like what might come and how maybe you can anticipate some of that, participate in some of that, or just get a feel for kind of what it all means in general. So when I look at crypto assets, I kind of view things in three different lights. I look at cryptocurrencies, I think about utility tokens, and then I think about security tokens. So when I think about cryptocurrencies, I think about Bitcoin obviously being the most prominent, something else like maybe Litecoin or Monero, something that's really just simply used to transact value on a network, Bitcoin being the most prominent, and also Bitcoin being probably the most stable thing from a regulatory perspective. On the other end of the spectrum, there are utility tokens, and I would classify that in two different manners too. You have kind of the platforms, and then you have these dApps or decentralized applications that are building on top of the platforms. But for the most part, most of those are utility tokens. And so, for example, that might be something like Ethereum or EOS. And then dApps on top of the platform, some of the applications, like some of the decentralized exchanges or some of the products that are trying to build on top of Ethereum or on top of EOS that have their own token. And then the last thing is security tokens. And this is, in my opinion, basically brand new. But when you look at it, and as was stated before, there is a lot of debate right now about utility tokens being securities and being unregistered securities. And that's something that's going to, I think the debate's really going to continue to get hotter and hotter there. And if anybody saw Ethereum and the SEC recently, the SEC coming out and essentially saying, hey, Ethereum is not a security, or in some respects saying, hey, it's not a security, or providing a little bit of clarity, there's still a lot of murkiness around utility tokens, which is leading a lot of people to jump on the security token kind of bandwagon in general. So what is a security token? So there is a professor out of Oregon, Steve McKeon, who is, I think, really bright when it comes to security tokens, runs the Security Token Academy, had a conference in New York pretty recently that I had a chance to go to hear him speak. And he describes security tokens as a blockchain-based representation of value that is subject to regulation under securities laws. Sounds like a lot of fun, right? Basically, what that means is that you are taking something on the blockchain and you are subjecting that to the existing securities laws that are in place in the United States and abroad as well. So for example, that could be a number of things like you'd mentioned previously. That could be equity in a company. It could be a company that is currently a private company, and rather than doing paper shares, you can have a security token of that. It could be debt in a company. It could be, or just real estate debt or something like that. It could be derivatives. It could also be real estate if you want to have a token as a representation. We'll get into this a little bit further. It could be a token as a representation of a individual single-family home. It could be a large property. It could be a number of different things there. And then it could also be, as well, pre-launch utility token. So if you're creating a platform, and rather than trying to do an ICO right now, which is subject to a lot of regulatory scrutiny, you could be doing a pre-launch of what might be at some point in time utility token as a security token, essentially. So that's kind of just a quick high level as far as what security tokens are. And there are a lot of benefits, or at least a lot of touted benefits, and these are all debatable too. I'm not up here saying every single one of these benefits is going to be the, you know, the next big thing in the space. But some of the benefits that people talk about are fractional ownership. So for example, if you wanted to, let's say, tokenize a $500 million hotel in New York City, I can't buy a $500 million hotel in New York City, but if you tokenize the actual assets, if you tokenize the ownership of that hotel in New York, and I can buy a portion of that, I could buy $10,000 worth, that'll give me an opportunity to have exposure to that specific hotel in New York, where I might not have that opportunity previously. And that's one of the big things. Fractional ownership is something that a lot of people are like touting as, hey, this is the benefit of security tokens. Another one is improved secondary liquidity. So I'm working with a company, I'm helping these guys out. It's a company called Cityblock Capital, and there are a couple other companies that are trying to do something similar in the security token space, but essentially they're doing a tokenized VC fund. And the reason that that's kind of interesting too is that typically when you invest in a VC fund, say you give a VC fund $25,000, and they go and they invest in a bunch of companies, and you hope 10 years later that you get an expected return on that investment. But for that 10 years, for the most part, your investment is not liquid. You can't take that out. You can't do anything with that. If you tokenize that investment after specific lockups, you're actually able to potentially buy, sell, and move that on a secondary market according to like the value of that. So it gives you a little bit more flexibility there when it comes down to the actual investment itself. And then another one is reduced fees. I think this is kind of debatable too, but a lot of people are talking about, hey, like when you go do an IPO, it costs a lot of money. If you do a security token offering, it's kind of similar, but it's going to cost a lot less. That's something that a lot of people are talking to. And then 24/7 markets. The stock market is not open 24/7. Theoretically, the security token market is going to be open 24/7 because it will be a blockchain-enabled system. It'll be open 24/7. A lot of people talk about that being a major benefit to it. So what are the cons of security tokens? Because everybody talks about how great security tokens are. They're the best thing in the world since sliced bread. They're going to take utility tokens out of the market. You're never going to see them again. There are some interesting kind of, I would say, cons to security tokens. First, you're really just fitting, you're taking blockchain technology, you're taking Bitcoin, the blockchain technology behind Bitcoin, you're taking the smart contract technology behind something like Ethereum, you're applying that to the existing system. Essentially, you're taking what is already in existence and you're just kind of tokenizing it and getting some of the benefits of tokenization, but you're still fitting it into the existing regulations. So for the most part, a lot of these investment opportunities that are going to come from security tokens are going to be limited to accredited investors. It's not necessarily something that's going to, at least for the time being, really like democratize finance and give everybody this incredible access to opportunities. At least in my opinion, it's probably not going to happen off the bat. It's also a brand new industry, and a lot of the technology, a lot of these platforms, these companies that are coming out and saying, hey, we're going to do this, a lot of it's still being ironed out. There are companies that actually issued security tokens probably in the past 6 months, in the past year, they're having to reissue their tokens because they technically didn't do it correctly, and there's regulatory issues around that. So a lot of it's like brand new and still developing. On the side, though, of actual in like comparison to an initial coin offering, who here has participated in an ICO? A lot of people. When you participate in an ICO, typically there is no lockup period. If you buy that and then the day it comes, it becomes transferable and it goes up 3x, you can flip that and give it to the next bag holder for 3x. Typically, it's not backed by real assets. So there's no, like Carter was saying before, there really isn't a way to properly value the vast, vast majority of these utility tokens. So what is it worth? It might be worth how many Telegram people are in it, or in their, I mean, how many people are in a Telegram group, or how excited people are, or some random news story. It could be worth a ton of random different things. There's no proper valuation. When you're looking at a security token, for the most part, it's going to be backed by some level of a real asset. There's going to be a way to tie valuation to it. So you're not going to get a 50x with a security token, most likely. You're not going to get 100x. It's not going to be the moonshot that everybody wants and that half the people probably in this room are looking for when it comes to investing, is trying to find that next moonshot that's going to make you a billionaire. There's also a smaller investor pool. Like when you're looking at it, you know, there are accreditation limits. You're fitting things into existing regulations, Reg D, Reg S, Reg A+. And then you're also looking at something that I think is a major issue, is you're stuck with accredited investors for the most part, but you're also looking at, you know, these accredited investors. How many of those accredited investors that are out there know what a token is, can actually plug a ledger into their computer and store an Ethereum token? Probably not that many. So it's a smaller market right now, and it's a little bit, I think, we're really early on, and custody of the asset is it's a major issue. So it's something that you kind of have to deal with in the long run. And this was something from the first NAC3 conference back in December of 2017. I talked about the changing landscape of ICOs. And there was like that back in December, there was a lot of like exuberance around ICOs. It was still kind of a hot marketplace. People were really excited about it. The SEC wasn't happy. All these startups were just running ICOs. And I talked about increasing regulations. And this was kind of 6 months ago, not many people were talking about security tokens at all. It really wasn't like a hot thing, a popular thing. It's kind of the past 3, 4, 5 months kind of started coming to the forefront. But this was a slide that I gave in December at the first NAC3 in Vegas, where I talked about the SEC kind of creating this cyber unit. And then I also talked about, and this was really kind of before some of the security token stuff, but you know, limiting things to accredited investors, increasing KYC AML requirements, limiting participants to certain countries, more government scrutiny. That's basically security tokens. Obviously, you're fitting it into regulations, but that's kind of how the industry has moved. So it's been interesting to see as kind of the time has gone on of these opportunities where, like, back in June, July of last year, you go back 365 days, a company would raise $35 million in 10 seconds, throw up an Ethereum address, you'd send it, there wouldn't be any KYC checks, and then the second that hit, it wasn't Binance, because Binance wasn't really even in existence then, but the second it hit an exchange, you'd get a 5x and flip that to somebody else, and it was a magical money printing machine. Not necessarily the same anymore. So with the security token industry as a whole, there's an interesting ecosystem when it comes down to kind of companies in general. So I look at two different things. There's primary issuance and secondary trading. There's an actual process of issuing these tokens. It's not as easy as simply just spinning up an ERC-20 token. There's a number of companies that are developing these token standards that are going to like allow for the proper regulation. And when you issue a token, you're gonna have to put in your passport, you're gonna have to put in your accreditation information, all this type of stuff. Essentially, you're buying a security just on the blockchain. So there's a company that will actually issue the token, work with the investor, and then at another point in time, there's going to be secondary liquidity, there's going to be secondary trading, secondary exchange, and that's gonna come at a later date on a specific exchange. Most likely, you're not gonna be able to trade security tokens on Binance because they don't have the proper regulation. You might be able to do that on something like Coinbase after they acquire a broker-dealer and ATS, something like T0, and I'll kind of get into a number of those different platforms as well. But those are, when I look at the ecosystem as a whole, those are kind of the two different places that you might see a lot of the activity at a certain point. And so there's kind of two different components when you look at security tokens. There's like the actual infrastructure of creating and running a security token. And then there is companies that are actually offering security tokens to people to invest in. And when it comes down to it, there's certain companies that are trying to do primary issuance. There's certain companies that are trying to do secondary trading. There's certain companies that are trying to do both. They don't know what they're trying to do, but they're just participating in the space. But some of the bigger ones that you probably heard of, who here has heard of Polymath? Is it because they have a token? Yes? Who here has heard of Securitize? One person. They don't have a token. So there are certain companies that are very well known in the industry, and then there are certain companies that are kind of operating behind the scenes. Maybe they don't have a token in the ecosystem. So some of the ones that are right now doing a lot of work, Securitize is one that's doing a ton on the primary issuance side of the house. Another one, Templum, is based in New York. Harbor is another company that's developing an interesting token standard, which is a version, both Securitize, Harbor, and Polymath are all developing these versions, essentially, of Ethereum, where there's whitelists, you can't send the token to certain people on certain timeframes. Pretty actually cool stuff. There's CoinList, Republic, Open Finance, T0, and AirSwap Fluidity, which is actually a company that I work for as well, just in a full-time outside of YouTube. And so we're working in this space, trying to provide infrastructure there as well. So those are some of the companies that are kind of offering the infrastructure to actually launch. But when it comes down to it, there are not that many companies yet that are actually offering tokens to invest. And this is just kind of starting up, and it's picking up. But a couple ones, Cityblock Capital, Property Coin, Blockchain Capital, and Science Blockchain already offer or had security token offerings. And then another one, 22X Fund. But there's probably less security. There's probably less than 10 security tokens right now in existence, or that you can even invest in. So it's a super early space when it comes down to it. Like I said, we're so early on, but I do think that the market is going to grow quite a bit. But there's a lot of work to be done. So it's just something to kind of take into consideration as you continue to look at the space and see the space as a whole. And so what would I watch for in the future, and what am I kind of watching for? I'm looking at the primary issuance platforms that are actually taking off and issuing tokens on those platforms. So who are people selling tokens through? Who's issuing the tokens? Is it Securitize? Is it Polymath? Is it Harbor? Do you have an opportunity to invest in those? Do they have a utility token? Do they not? Is there an opportunity there for you to somehow make money off that? Who knows? Which secondary exchanges are actually generating the most volume and liquidity? As like we talked about before, one of the big pitches is, hey, after a certain amount of time, you can actually trade that asset. You can move it around. There's going to be certain secondary trading exchanges that will actually have a lot of volume, potentially a lot of liquidity, so that is something to keep an eye on. And then the last thing are, what are the tokenized securities that are in highest demand? Is it real estate? Is it venture capital funds? Is it equity in individual houses? Like what's actually popular? Because a lot of people are speculating on like, hey, we think this industry is going to do well. We think this industry is going to do well. But which one actually does well, we don't really know yet. So that's what I would keep an eye on just in general. And then lastly, just kind of open it up for questions. I know kind of covered a lot there, but wanted to take any questions that you guys might have. And not necessarily a lawyer or anything like that. I work closely with our lawyer at AirSwap, and he tells me everything that I can reasonably understand. But yeah, happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, that's got a big mouth. So I have a question. You're the first person that I've heard, oh, security tokens are great. Everybody else I've heard, it seems like they bend over backwards and say, we're not a security token, we're a utility. And so are you saying that's kind of changing now? And then also to build on that, these laws about securities were written in the 1930s. They're ridiculous. Do you think our industry should work with the law or actively push to try to change all these antiquated systems?
Sure. So to that point, if you're a utility token right now, you're never going to come out and say, especially if you already did an initial coin offering, you're never going to come out and say, hey, we're actually a security. You can't do that. To be if you did an ICO and you have a quote unquote utility token in existence, if you basically admit to that having elements of a security, you essentially committed securities. You basically broke the law, and you'll probably go to jail. So nobody's going to come out and say, yeah, we're actually a security token after we initially did an ICO. You go to jail, and you get a massive fine or whatever it might be. On the aspect of actually the regulation, yeah, the regulation is it's old regulation. It's not, a lot of it's from the early 1900s, 1930s, whatever it might be. I think there is a lot of thoughts as far as adapting this or trying to kind of update the regulation to work with this technology. But for the most part right now, and one of the reasons I think some of the security token offerings will be a little bit limited is because you are fitting this new technology into things from the 1930s and the 1920s. So it doesn't necessarily fit perfectly, which makes it a little bit more difficult in general. But yeah, I think it needs to be updated.
On your first slide, you were talking about the different categories of tokens. So sure. One category that I grudgingly find interesting is the non-fungible tokens. As crazy as it is, CryptoKitties and World Cup trading cards and everything, it's not any more crazy than a piece of paper, I guess, in the end. So does that fit under one of the other categories, or is it one category? Because each one is unique, right?
Yeah, I would say that's...
No value there in the future. It's just... hard to get my brain around.
Yeah, I would say that's the NFT tokens and like the I think it's what ERC 721. It's like the specific standard that a lot of people use. I would say that's kind of like a subset or its own separate category. It's kind of harder to it's a little bit difficult to wrap your head around. But from like a regulatory standpoint, I haven't even really looked or kind of thought about it too much, just because I haven't been really working on it that much in general. But it is interesting, and there are. You know, whether it's CryptoKitties, I mean, they got a big round, and it wasn't necessarily, I think, the company behind CryptoKitties raised $12 million, and it wasn't necessarily for CryptoKitties, it was just kind of for the company themselves to continue to innovate in that space, so.
And then my other question is, are there, you just gave a few examples of the very early securities tokens. Are those actually trading anywhere yet? As we said, most of the exchanges, I know there's a couple companies maybe trying to make I know the Coinbase story, but a couple others that are already broker dealers that might be looking at doing securities tokens. This will be like a separate, this exchange does securities tokens, these exchanges do utility tokens. Is there any exchange yet that you know about?
To my knowledge, there is not a secondary exchange yet for security tokens. I would say you're probably going to see that in the, it's mostly private sales that are happening, and at a certain point in time, there will be secondary trading. Some of the companies that are working on that, T0 is a larger one. Open Finance is another one. At AirSwap, we're working in that. There are a couple different companies that are kind of functioning in that space, but nobody is live yet with that. Some of that's regulatory, some of that's due to regulation, some of that's due to building out the tech, but it is pretty early. Open Finance. Yeah. Two more questions if anybody has any. If not, I'll jump off the stage.
So this is probably a really simple question, but what exactly defines a security token?
So you're taking an existing, you're basically just taking an existing security or the regulation that fits behind a security, and you're offering that sale rather than doing essentially a paper sale through whatever it's equity, real estate, whatever it might be. You're doing a Regulation D offering private placement to accredited investors in the U.S. And rather than issuing that on paper, you're providing somebody with a token to represent the ownership. So instead of just having a piece of paper or a digital representation of that piece of paper, you're having an ERC-20 token that says, I own this much of it, and it actually does represent that ownership in the asset. Whereas like the utility tokens, you own whatever, one Ethereum, you don't actually own any, you don't own any of the Ethereum company, you don't have any voting rights, you don't have any profit distribution, anything like that. Is there one more question?
What happens if you end up trading a security on an unregulated securities exchange?
So a security token, and one of the interesting things about Securitize, which is creating this token standard called the DS token standard, Harbor is creating the R token standard, Polymath is creating the ST20. Essentially, they're all versions of building the technology to not allow that to happen. So essentially what's going to happen is accredited investors and people that are, or people that are able to invest, are going to sign up. They're going to kind of go through the initial issuance platform with their passport and all the information and things like that. They're going to get added to a whitelist, and then they're going to buy with that whitelist. And then anybody in the future who wants to buy is going to have to be on like a whitelist or something like that. So in a lot of cases, like, you know, there's certain lockups. It's 90 days or 365 days, and maybe you can't trade that internationally for a certain amount of time. That's actually going to be built in at like a smart contract level. So that will theoretically, at this point in time, what they're trying to build is for that to not allow to happen, so that like you can't buy a security token, and then tomorrow, like if you can't buy a security token that is locked up for 365 days, and tomorrow I say, hey man, like go send me that like an ERC-20 token, that's not going to be able to happen. So awesome. Thanks for your time, everybody.